How can we rebuild and at the same time reduce the immense 40% CO2 footprint that the building industry puts on the world? This question is at the core at the Bella Convention Center in the Danish capital Copenhagen during the UIA World Congress of Architects. My name is Lasse Solsunde. I've spent the first day of the UIA World Congress of Architects to report on the concept of rebuilding for the organization Byens Netværk, an association that connects the Danish building industry. The organization is also the co-host of the Rebuilding Pavilion that you'll hear more about in this episode. All is heavily linked to the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals. We are now halfway to 2030. After the goals were initiated by the UN in 2015, it is now time to acknowledge if we have gotten closer to the goals. The president of the UIA World Congress of Architects, Natalia Musin, took the stage to introduce this year's theme, Sustainable Futures That Leave No One and Nowhere Behind. It's a concept that includes every one of us. We have to engage.
Gathered here for the coming days, we must together make it tangible exactly how the built environment can contribute. I implore you to listen to the eminent speakers, but also to speak yourselves. Engage with the leading research, engage with the leading practice presented, and share what you each know, what you fear, and where you see the greatest challenges. It is for each and everyone here to contribute to the realization of the goals.
Another key opening speaker was Audrey Azoulay, the Director General of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. She mentioned the importance of architects to be a vital part of future solutions.
We also know that none of the great challenges of our time, of our century, can be tackled sustainably without architecture. Whether it's our relationship with nature, the depletion of the planet's resources, the green transition, the demographic challenge, health issue, cultural diversity, inclusion, the development of mass tourism. For all that, we need you, we need your expertise, we need also your creativity, but we also need your voice to be heard by the decision makers.
One of the sub-themes of the Congress is the concept of rebuilding. Therefore, the Royal Danish Academy's Department of Architecture in Copenhagen had invited a number of architects from all over the world to join in a co-creation project to make the Rebuilding Pavilion that had a short but intense four-day life at the Congress.
Can I take the stage? Hello, everyone. It's very special to be here.
At the opening, it was one of the participants, the Syrian architect and writer Marwa Al-Sabouni, who spoke the introducing words.
How do you feel about this place after having worked on it online for quite a while? You know, how is it to see it in real life?
To see it realized has this mix of feelings, because I already feel that I'm familiar with every detail in the project we worked on, but to see it realized, then there is a bit of sense of exploration in a way, something you know, what you touch for the first time. I think it's very special. A special project, a special experiment, if you will, and I feel we are very lucky that our small experiment has actually worked out to our favor, that people seems to be approving of and to be enjoying.
How do you use your own experience as an architect from your home country, Syria? Do you see any of your own methods being transported into this project also?
Yeah.
Or do you see any methods from this project also maybe being transported into your daily work?
Well, actually, the courtyard with the tree and you know, this concept of having a courtyard is inspired by Syrian architecture that like you said, I'm surrounded with and feel passionate about. And also the courtyard, is a common design theme in different cultures as well. But the idea of a courtyard sparked from from that source of inspiration, and everybody seemed to go on board with it because.
Hear more about Marwa Al-Sabouni's ideas in our second podcast, Reflections on Rebuilding, a Global Journey, where we follow the different concept of rebuilding strategies from all over the world. The pavilion is a structure solely made out of reused material. It resembles a courtyard. A small entrance, a square form, a linden tree in the middle, going 10 meters up. Here you can sit, relax, and discuss, and drink tea. And there are panels all around, made out of compressed plant material that can also be used as insulation material. The textile and construction wood is on loan. The wood is more than 140 years old and originally from an old brewery in Copenhagen. All material will be reused and is only on loan. One of the project workers is Adam Linde Nielsen, an architect working for the Royal Danish Academy's Department of Architecture. He explains the ideas behind the pavilion and the exhibition that is part of the pavilion.
It portrays in many ways both a good collaboration between the people that were a part of this project, a part of the rebuilding pavilion project. We invited 8 different individuals from around the world to talk about rebuilding from different angles, rebuilding after disaster, after war, after climate crisis, and we asked them to nominate different projects from either their home country or from neighboring countries or from practices that they look up to, and this is basically the manifestation of that. They've nominated, I think it's 20 different projects, and we have curated them through pictures from the projects, sometimes before and afters, and sometimes just how it looks currently today. And we've mixed that with quotes from different stakeholders, either from the users or from the clients themselves.
And we are kind of a little bit all over the world. We're here at a Rohingya refugee space center. We're in India, in Pune. We're in the Danish city of Svendborg. We are in Australia,
in Bordeaux.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how did these projects qualify to be a part of your exhibition here?
I mean, we wanted to look at the term rebuilding very holistically, so not only seeing rebuilding as something we in the West can do for people in the East or in Africa or somewhere else. We wanted to stop that narrative that in saying we in the West can only teach you there. We wanted the dialogue to go both ways. So we wanted to bring the maybe not the most talked about projects, but a flood prevention project in Svendborg is just as easily a rebuilding project as affordable housing project in Nigeria. So placing them next to each other, you really see that the rebuilding is a global problem.
If we look at rebuilding in itself, so to speak, what is it all about? Is it rebuilding? You know, we're rebuilding about after catastrophes, after wars, after climate changes, but also rebuilding houses into new use.
Yeah. So it's also the ongoing, which we also see a lot in Denmark, the ongoing change from we are changing as a demographic. We have different family constellations, and our building mass has to transform itself constantly. That's in some way a rebuilding of the mentality that all buildings are static. All buildings change over time, and it takes care. They need care and appreciation, and also they can be flexible enough to change their program or change their purpose, depending on how the demographic or how the nature disaster or the climate changes. It has to be flexible. and we're rebuilding our mentality as well. Change our mentality about the architecture that we produce, basically.
And how has it been for you as an architect to be involved in this project? What are your learning points you're taking from the project? I know you've been very involved. What is it that other architects can learn from this project?
The thing I learned the most from this project is even though we do not come from the same countries, we have a lot of the same appreciation for spaces. We're here in the courtyard shaped pavilion, and that came about because everyone had the same relation to the courtyard as a safe space, as a safe haven. And that came up pretty quickly in our design discussions. So really seeing and acknowledging that even though we come from different cultures, a lot of the same appreciations we have are the same.
The design and the program is facilitated by the Indian architect Bhavana Jaimini, an architect, urban practitioner and writer who is based in Mumbai. She works with a community design agency as a lead for community development. I asked her how she reflects on the outcome, the pavilion itself, that is an invitation for pausing and reflection.
It is more than what we imagined in terms of the kind of feel we wanted the place to be, the kind of experience that we wanted to generate. But there was this one thing that all of us agree from the day we started working was that we wanted this to be a place for pause, a place where people can feel at home, because Congress can be a very daunting place. Like, there are so many sessions happening. You're also like mentally very stimulated, you're speaking to one person and, you know, listening to these ideas, we wanted the pavilion to be a place where people can reflect, people can talk to each other about architecture or other things. And I think that is something that has come out really well, because as you can see, like, it's already becoming a meeting point for people who are coming.
We're like sitting in what I would describe as a little courtyard.
Yes.
And you have benches along the square structure.
Yes.
You have a tree in the middle, a linden tree that, yeah, kind of goes, I think, 9-10 meters into the height.
The other thing is, all the material here is natural or reused, like the metal. You see the metal there. All, we didn't buy anything new. And the one thing that we wanted to do was to not buy anything, but also not have something which can go back to or find a different use. So all of it will be dismantled and will go back to their suppliers, and it will take a different form. Because if you see, it's a 3-day event, and a lot of money and a lot of resources have gone into it. And on one hand, when we talk about sustainable futures and leaving no one behind, we are also leaving a massive carbon footprint of buying so much materials, so much technology, which will only have impact for 3 days. So we were, that was also one of a great point of discussion and great point of commonality the team had, that we didn't want to waste anything. It was either using recycled materials or finding adaptive reuse once that material has become part of this pavilion. So
yeah.
I think...
So you had a very clear dogma.
Yes. I think these three things, having a sense of home, not using any unsustainable materials, and making sure that there is every material that has been part of this pavilion has an afterlife, a meaningful afterlife.
Bhavana Jaimini shares her ideas in our other podcast from the UIA, Reflections on Rebuilding, a Global Journey. Also, the curator of the project, Ingeborg Hau, from the Royal Danish Academy's Department of Architecture in Copenhagen, will expand her views on the work with the pavilion. But first of all, I asked her what is she particularly proud of regarding how the pavilion project came to life.
I'm most proud of the team. Like, the project is done by an international team. We were looking at, I was thinking maybe we can get 5 people on the team, but let's ask more so that we know, because of course we didn't have a long time. It wasn't like so I was thinking many will probably say no, we don't have time, we can't do it, but everyone said yes, so now I think we are 9 people, and I think that has definitely been the most positive experience is the community, or like the openness from these people being invited by someone they don't know to join a team in a project that's very undefined, and meeting often in the nighttime in their local time zones, stepping up and having these discussions across Zoom or Teams, prioritizing this in a busy everyday life. Of course, we have the Congress as our aim. They do too now, but they didn't before. So I think I'm definitely most proud of being able to get a sense of community in this team. I think they'll probably stay in touch afterwards, I hope. So hopefully this will be the start of some very talented collaborations between these people involved in the rebuilding pavilion, hopefully.
Also maybe to create future ambassadors for the idea of rebuilding.
And I think I've learned so much from it already. I think in Denmark we have this tendency, and I do particularly myself, of working together with people that we know in advance. And I think this project created so many new contacts for me, and I've learned so much more from this I would have imagined just from talking to people that I don't talk to normally.
And maybe that also reflects the situation of rebuilling. A lot of, how do you say, people have to find each other.
Yeah,
and a lot of people wouldn't know each other beforehand because it's an unforeseen situation.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to do things like we normally do them. And I think we have a tendency to choose the obstacles that we can see ahead of us instead of the potentials that we have an idea might be there, but they are more intangible.
And if you go 5 years down the road, you know, what do you see? How would this field, where would it be?
Yeah, I think, of course, it's difficult to talk about rebuilding after disaster in a positive note when looking ahead. We have climate change that is spiraling. We're not doing enough. But I think as an architecture community and as a global architecture community, we can come together and offer solutions that are better for both people, but also for the planet. But it requires international collaborations. It's not a Danish solution or an Indian solution. It needs a collaborative approach, because that's where the holistic sustainability lies, I think.
Also to free creative minds and also resources, I guess, in the far end.
Yeah, and I think in the less dramatic term of rebuilding, in 5 years, I hope that's the only thing we do. I don't hope we build any more new buildings. I think we need to stop building in uninhabited areas. We need to use what we have already built. We need to adapt it so that it becomes more energy efficient, so that it holds the people that need to stay. But I think rebuilding is just building, in our part of the world at least, right? So I also hope it just becomes the first thing you think about when you need to build something is, how can we use what we have? How can we transform our existing building structures? How can we use the ones that are torn down in new ways? How can we minimize our waste? And how can we minimize our footprint by using what we have already? And that's also a part of rebuilding that's very relevant also in not disaster areas.
So rebuilding should not be excluded to, how to say, catastrophic scenarios?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think we need new houses, not in the way we normally talk about new houses. We don't need to build on green fields. We don't need to build more one-family houses. We have them already. We can build them, we can transform them using better materials than we have done, so that they can stand for longer or be transformed better, perhaps. But I don't think we need to build more. At least not here. I mean, in other parts of the world, the challenge is different. But I mean, in Denmark, we don't need to build more houses. I don't think so. And we can rebuild and reuse what we have already so it fits our needs better and so that it becomes more sustainable.
Another Danish contributor is the architect Asbjørn Lund from the architectural company Vandkunsten in Copenhagen. He sees a lot of potential of expanding the principles that was also a core of the rebuilding pavilion, the idea of recirculation of material.
In Denmark right now, the modern trends of architecture and building is to trying to promote a higher volume of biogenic materials, trying to go more low tech, trying to minimize use of technology and minimizing these technocratic building codes and all this to sort of evolve our language or architectonic aesthetics with a more low-tech approach. With this team of international architects that we're working with in this regard, they are all doing this with the premise of what we have available, what is necessary that we use. So what do we have and what can we do with it?
And in order to embrace reusing material, we also have to train our aesthetic muscles, so to speak, in new directions, Asbjørn Lund argues.
Or even the aesthetics of the built environment. I think it's necessary that we accept and tolerate new ways of our building to present themselves. We have to accept, you can see, a higher degree of something that is not perfect. A new facade with a lot of shingles with the rust all over the place. That should be okay because that's what we have to do. In regards to the building codes and regulations and stuff like that, it's difficult to get guarantees on a reused material. In relation to that, it's about finding new ways.
And it also pushes the way we think space. What is private and what is common space, says Asbjørn Lund.
It's interesting to go into this discussion of how much do we actually need of smaller houses and less square meters per person. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that we have to tolerate having less quality in our lives. I think the roles of the architects in this agenda will be to emphasize the qualities and the potentials of reducing space, have a higher degree of sharing space. It makes sense to push this agenda of more shared space.
One of the prominent guests at the pavilion is the Pakistani architect Jasmine Lahri, who in her home country has founded the Heritage Foundation Pakistan, an NGO that helps locals building houses from locally sourced material. The 82-year-old architect finds it gives hope for the future that younger architects will take new and more sustainable routes.
First of all, I think we should talk about this pavilion, this rebuilt pavilion. I think it's a very commendable effort, and I'm really just wonderful to see the young people putting together all this recycled material from, you know, other places, and to say that, first of all, that we need to collaborate now with each other to face all these difficult situations which are everywhere, where there's poverty, there's disparities, there's climate change effect on all kinds of situations, but also the disasters that it brings with it. And unless we collaborate with each other, we have a participatory approach, we won't be able to handle it. And of course the world is very different. I work in the global south, we're right now in the global north, where there's probably no dearth of material, but the fact that you are becoming so conscious of how to conserve is a very good thing, because all of us have to now save the planet. So my motto is, first of all, zero carbon, zero waste, zero donor, so that there's nobody needs to do anything. It's a community that will do it itself, and that leads to zero poverty.
If you want to hear more about Jasmine Lahri's work, do so in our other podcast from the URA titled Reflections on Rebuilding, A Global Journey. The co-host of the pavilion is Byens Netværk, and the manager is Copenhagen-based Henriette Larsen.
We have been asked to host this rebuilding pavilion, which I'm very proud of. It's a fantastic opportunity to be able to talking about the sustainable future and how to build better. Rebuilding is both about rebuilding after catastrophes, war, demographic changes, climate change, and how to build a better future. Byens Netværk is an organization for all of the companies building the cities, that is architects, entrepreneurs, municipalities, and many of them are here. And it's a fantastic opportunity to be here in Copenhagen to meet the world. So I'm very proud of that.
So it's very much about connecting people from different paths. In some parts of the world, this is not so prevalent. Getting people together can sometimes be an obstacle. Yes. What is your good advice to people out there who boost conversations, also to boost maybe community building?
To travel and to go abroad, even to see your own country and your own city from with different eyes. So you come back and you have new ideas to make our cities better. It's all about connecting people and talking to each other. And I have long-lasting connections from all over the world. So that's a good advice to still go abroad.
The UIA World Congress of Architects is a short-lived venue that binds people together, but it can leave long-lived traces. It can mark beginnings of new friendships, it can confirm old ones, and it's a congress where ideas are spread and refined. In 10 days, that can create new circles of collaborations. Copenhagen had the honor to host in 2023, and in 3 years' time, Barcelona will be the next city where architects will meet and exchange. My name is Lasse Solsunde. I have interviewed and produced this podcast. My collaboration partner is Nana Jardorf from Byens Netværk in Copenhagen. Thank you so much for listening.